Ephesians chapter 5. We spent several weeks on the subject of media as we have walked through this series of Heaven Help the Home. This is sermon number 9 out of 10. So we are nearing the end of this. We will not get everything that we need to in this one sermon tonight. So I'm certain we'll be coming back to these verses. But you can't preach about the home and ignore Paul's instructions in Ephesians. We've been in these chapters a couple times, but we've made application that has not been specific to the role in the home. And to most of us, these are not new verses. I hope that they will maybe be fresh reminders to us. Someone said that some marriages start out as ideal, then the marriage becomes an ordeal, and before long you're looking for a new deal. And I hope that's not the case. We don't need to be looking for something new. We ought to take that which is tireless and tune it up. And so I've entitled this message tonight, or these messages, Tuning Up Tired Homes. I grew up in a home where my dad is a Mopar Hemi V8 kind of guy. We always had an engine. In fact, my dad still has more than one engine on a jack stand just sitting in the corner. We always were working on something, and I remember my dad teaching me what the phrase running on all eights meant. Because sometimes there'd be a miss in the engine, and sometimes it would be not running as smooth as it should. And if our household is going to be running on all eights, then it might need a little bit of tuning from time to time. And so we're going to begin in verse 21. Now let me say this to the onset of these verses and this message. There is no doubt that there are some verses in the Bible that are specifically pointed to individuals. In other words, if you are a 7-year-old, verse number 22 is a little different for you. I don't know very many 7-year-olds that are married. But the Bible does tell us that all Scripture is profitable, right? And so wherever you are, whatever your home life is, I hope that your heart will be open and that you will be in tune. And by the way, if you are a 7-year-old, nothing better than for you to start learning these while you're young. Nothing better than for you to have your children under Bible preaching like that. So I just want to walk through these verses and maybe just kind of glean a couple reminders tonight. Let's begin in verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Lord, I pray that you'll take these verses that are probably familiar to us and help us to be encouraged by them tonight. May the Holy Spirit have liberty to speak to us. And Father, I pray that our homes would be a picture of what you have described for us in this passage of Scripture and those that are similar. And I ask that you'll help all of us to be good hearers and good stewards of the word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The home is primarily, and specifically primarily, I guess, the marriage relationship in these couple verses that we're reading about. And by the way, we'll go into chapter 6 at some point as well. But the home is the most delightful place and the most wonderful union of blending of hearts any place on the planet. Marriage is a sacred union of two humans coming together, clasping their hands, blending their lives. It is the bonding together of two becoming one flesh, and we walk together facing life's burdens and life's joys and life's sorrows together. But I don't have to tell you tonight, if you've been married for any length of time, marriage is a whole lot more than moonlight and roses. It's a lot more than staring into each other's eyes and whispering sweet nothings at one another. And there's a place for that, just not while I'm preaching. But unfortunately, in our day, marriage has become very lightly regarded. And by the way, here's a good phrase for you. Because it's lightly regarded, it's being lightly discarded by a lot of people. We have treated marriage as if it's not important, so that divorce seems like that's always the option instead of not an option. And our homes are at an alarming rate falling apart, and marriage is supposed to be forever. And it's in the sight of God a union that is a beautiful uniting of two hearts together. I know that we understand that, and much of what we will describe tonight is, I hope, elementary to us. But it's a shame that some homes don't have the music of marriage in their home. Some homes don't have the magnificence of marriage that ought to be there. In fact, some homes maybe don't even have a mediocre marriage, but there's a lot of people that have a miserable marriage. If you have, or if you had, a great marriage, thank the Lord for that. Because I can tell you from the other side of the desk, it is troublesome to hear about the toils and trouble of marriage over and over and over. And there are a lot of people who are suffering through a miserable marriage. Do you know the devil knows that? In many ways he knows that. And the devil knows that if he can hurt us at home, he can not only hurt us all over, but he can hurt us everywhere. If the home is hurt, then the church is hurt. If the home is hurt, then the school is hurt. If the home is hurt, then the nation is hurt. If the home is hurt, then society begins to fall apart. And I believe that's why these verses are consecutively in order, leading into chapter 6, where Paul says, hey, you better take the armor of God every day because you're going to need it. The devil lands some of his worst attacks many times at the home and levels some of his most difficult artillery at trying to tear down the home. That doesn't always mean you're doing something wrong. In fact, sometimes it means you might be doing something right. And the devil wants to destroy that or to tear it down. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, not only what to do, but how we are to do it. Now, we didn't read back this far, but you know verse number 18, I'm certain. And Paul begins, before he ever gives us the instruction, he starts in verse number 18 with the reminder and the command that we are to be filled with the Spirit. This is a Bible principle that you are to daily yield yourself to the control of the Holy Ghost of God. We are to allow Him to have full reign in our hearts. That's how that a wife, that's how that a husband, that's how children do and be what they are supposed to be. So Paul gives to us an illustration that nobody can miss. It's the illustration of Christ and the church. If you take Ephesians chapter 5 and you strip out the picture of Jesus and the church, you're left with just a few pieces about the home. And they're not near as dynamic or powerful as putting them, coupling them together with the picture of this is the way Christ loves or Christ treats the church. And therefore, that's what our homes are supposed to be like. What Christ is to the church, the husband is to the wife. What the church is to Christ, the wife is to the husband. What offspring of the local church are is a similarity of the offspring of two parents in the union of a home. So with that in mind, here's some instruction that he gives us on tuning up our homes and maybe just reminders to us on how to make things the way that they ought to be. If you're jotting down notes, we begin, first of all, letter A, with some instruction for partners. He starts this dissertation and speaks to husbands and wives first. Long before he gets to chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, Paul starts with the instruction for husbands and the instructions for wives. We're going to just walk through these verses as they are in order, and I hope that we can glean some things. But notice, if you would, verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Can I say to you that the rest of the chapter is not applicable without that foundation. That's where it starts. Now, we often want to jump to verse 22, or we often want to jump to verse 25, and those are important, but the foundation starts with being filled with the Spirit and starts with submitting ourselves one to another. The key to each relationship is submission. It's the kind of submission that the Son yielded to the Father when He lived here on this earth. That kind of submission is evidence of the filling of the Spirit. But here's what I've learned. Because we are flesh, sometimes we're stubborn. Anybody ever have someone in your home, like maybe the person that you're married to, be stubborn? I mean, this might be a good time to just look straight ahead. We are fleshly beings. We sometimes, and by the way, it shows up in every piece of these relationships. Starts with the wife and talks about the husband. He talks about children. He talks about servants and masters. In every piece of that, there's a place for submission. And then every piece of that, there is a place where if we're not careful, our flesh can get the best of us. And if you're a child of God who is sensitive to the will of God, you eventually learn that, the path to submission is the best way. It makes sense. That's God's plan. You will never get your home to line up until you first line up with the Holy Spirit. And so he begins with verse 21 and gives to us this instruction about submitting ourselves. It was disobedience that cast the human race into sin. But it was the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ when He gave of Himself to purchase our salvation. So me yielding to the Holy Spirit is a key to all moral relationships. In fact, it is not only a key to moral relationships, it's a key to marital relationships, and it's a key to material relationships. That's a key to me balancing those in my Christian life. And so Paul gives us this reminder, and we're just going to walk through the simple order that's found in these verses. Number one, we find first loyalty in surrender. Verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, specifically, he gives them instruction. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I believe personally that verse 21 and verse 22 are not so much about the order of authority, though that is present. And oftentimes we get that confused because we want to take those verses and we say, ha-ha, see that, honey? That verse was for you. It's not so much about the order as it is the operation of surrender or submission. This is a pattern for us to follow. This is a picture for you and I of what that yielding is like. This is a reminder of how it is given and how it is received. And oftentimes, many Bible commentators, I'm not supposing to say that I have always gotten it right in my preaching, but I endeavor to go line upon line and verse by verse. And Jesus taught the disciples a principle that is just in line with what Paul is teaching. Jesus taught the disciples, often the greatest person is not the one that tries to boast of himself or to build himself up or to tout who he was, but often the greatest person is the one who learns to build others up. Submission is not about you being in charge. Submission is about really whether or not you can handle somebody being submissive. Submission is not about my place and my role. It's about this Bible principle that I yield in the Holy Spirit. By nature, we want to promote ourselves. But the Holy Spirit says, I want you to submit to others. So, notice these couple things. First of all, letter A, he starts with submission. Now that we've laid the foundation, I've given you a few notes. Verse number 21 and verse number 22, he uses that word two times. And the first of these relationships is the wife to the husband. Ladies, it's possible that your marriage might need a tune-up. It's possible that if you've been married for any length of time, it might need some Bible refreshers. And remember, her relationship is to be as the church is to Christ. So the relationship of the wife to the husband is that picture of the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how opposite that is of the ways of the world? Women today have been taught to believe, and our culture has fed us to believe that, not me, I'm not submitting to him. No way. Preacher, have you ever met my husband? I don't have to submit to him. I don't have to submit to any man. By the way, and I'm not going to develop this, but it's interesting, two times in this passage, Paul states that they are to submit to their own husbands. Anybody that wants to take this passage of Scripture and move you past the bonds of that marriage relationship in submission. There is a place of submission in the workplace. There is a place of submission in the church. That's not what he's dealing with here. But sometimes there is that chauvinistic idea that, well, a lady ought to be subject to every man. That's not scriptural. It's not biblical. But Paul is saying that inside the bounds of the home, there is to be a place of submission. The world has said, well, I have rights. And ain't no man going to tell me what to do. I had a lady tell me years ago that her husband is fully in charge of everything that they do in their home, so long as she tells him he can be. And she wasn't joking. I believe she meant it. Well, you know, if you are a child of God, when you talk about your rights, it really just proves how foolish you are, because you don't have any. I mean, what rights does a dead man have? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I have been bought with a price. I belong to Him. You're not your own, but you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we refuse God's plan, you're not helping yourself, you're hurting yourself. In July of 1848, it was the first documented, organized attempt for a national movement for women's rights. During the 1960s and 70s and 80s, we were introduced to things like feminine activism and women's liberation. And a lot of those were ideals that maybe they were even somewhat good. Because we believe in the fact that we are all created equal in the sight of God. We believe in that. But ladies and gentlemen, please do not take all of the genre that the world wants to offer you and miss the fact that the distortion of their views have many times left us with rebellion at best. And sometimes, by the way, most of that is failed rebellion. Or sometimes that's rebellion against a failed husband or man in the home. Fellows ought to fix that, and men ought to change that. But ladies, can I just remind you, whatever the state of your home is, maybe you're married to somebody that's lost. Maybe you're married to somebody that's out of the will of God. Maybe you're married to a situation or a person that is giving you all kinds of trouble. May I just remind you that even though there may be difficulty, doesn't mean you can throw Bible principle out. Maybe you're in this room and you're married to somebody who you would never say it, and you ought never say it. But in your heart you say, boy, preacher, I wish my husband were a more spiritual leader than what he is. Well, that doesn't change Bible principle, nor does it change your responsibility when it comes to submission. Our homes are no better off because we have been led to believe we can ignore Bible principle. Doesn't matter to us. So what does Paul mean? When Paul says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and by the way, don't you forget the as unto the Lord. What does he mean? Well, unfortunately, a lot have taken this verse out of context and have caused men to either repress their wives or to sometimes cause wives to even resent their husbands because of it. But this is a great Bible principle, and it's a great Bible verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22, does not stand alone. If you were to strip that verse out and you were to have it stand on its own, then you might have some basis for some of these off-the-wall relationship ideas. But this verse is as much as important as verse 21 and as much important as verse number 18. And it is choosing, you deciding to place yourself under. That's God's design. Interestingly enough, in my Sunday school class, we started a lesson this morning that teaches us and helps us with what submission is. But this is God's design for how the home should operate. You see, if a woman fails to submit according to God's plan, you're going to have problems with God first, not your husband. If you're saved and you're a child of God and you refuse to follow the Bible, understand your first problem is with God. And I think that sometimes if we would understand the dynamics of that, that perspective lifts this command to a higher and a holier plateau. I mean, what woman who has fallen in love with Jesus does not want to do all that they can willingly for Him? It only makes sense that I love the Lord and I want to serve Him and I want to give Him my life. That's the machinery of marriage. That's what makes it run. And a lack of submission will give you difficulty, not just with the Lord, but it certainly gives you difficulty with your husband, but it doesn't stop there. It'll give you difficulty with your children. Now, maybe you're in this room and you've been married for 40 years or more, and you look back over where you were when you'd been married 7 or 8 years and you had young children in the home, and you say, boy, I wish I could go back and do those over. Well, bad news, you can't. There's a lot of things we'd like to change and a lot of things that maybe we'd like to do over, but we don't have the privilege or the opportunity to turn back time in that, but we do have the opportunity to impact somebody else. That's why Paul says later that ye older are to teach the younger. That's why ladies are to have that much of an impact and an influence in the lives of young ladies. And a lack of submission, which the world has fed us, gives us all kinds of problems that work their way into society. God gives authority to those that are in authority. God gives roles and places of position. And if we do not accept that and choose to live by it, it's not only that you're just going to have problems at home, but you are ingraining into your children rebellion that one day you're going to pay dearly for. Ladies, it is a submissive relationship. So, according to the world's terminology, that means, is a woman inferior? Well, no. Now, that wouldn't be, not only would that not be biblical, but it wouldn't be just conceptually accurate. Here's an example. When it comes to a police officer, I am no more or no less than they are. But when it comes to the laws of the roadways, let's suppose that you leave tonight and before you get to get well, you are going over the speed limit, and I decide that I'm going to chase you down and pull you over. Well, most of you would say, catch me if you can. Or you'd say, whatever, you're the preacher. What's that have to do with anything? I don't have any authority on Goodman Road. But a police officer does. Now, when it comes to human nature, when it comes to the rights of a citizen, and when it comes to the laws of freedom, we are the same. But in that place, he is the delegated, appointed authority. So there's some places in the home where God has given delegated, appointed authority. And perhaps in the matter of submission, we need to do a little bit of tweaking and a little bit of tuning. So letter A is submission. Letter B is support. Notice, if you would, verse number 24. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Paul says later, all things. Two times, he makes that statement. I was thinking about this. If you walk through the Bible, this is an interesting study. There are a lot of husband and wives relationships, but specifically, there are a lot of brides in the Bible that illustrate the relationship between Christ and the church. Jacob and Rachel, Boaz and Ruth, David and Abigail. I suppose we could make a list that is as long as we'd like to. And the marriage of believers should be described the same way. We are to be as Christ is to the church. You and I are the illustration to the world that the relationship between Christ and His church, it still exists. And not only does it exist, but it works. And here's why this preface is so crucial. Because Because when I recognize that this is God's plan, that this is God's concept, that this is God's idea, it really kind of ends a lot of the quibbling and the bickering about who's in charge or who's in responsibility or who's the most important. It ends all of that because this is a picture of the relationship of Christ. That's the reason why the world will never understand that. That's the reason why the world gets it backwards. Your marriage should function like Christ in the church as a matter of submission and subjection. As a lady, as a wife, you will never be to your husband what God has intended for you to be until you recognize your role as a helpmeet in the relationship. You are a completer, not a competer. You are to support your husband, not smear your husband. The Bible speaks about the fact that you are to please, not to pester. You don't have to say amen there. I'll just amen myself. You are to build up, not to berate. You're to help, not to hurt. And you are to make better, not to make things worse. Now, let's be honest. All of us have seen some relationships at times where we've made the statement, well, we know who wears the... In that relationship, you said it, not me. It's not a matter of who's in charge and who's the boss. That's really not what it's about. It's a matter of the fact that we're supposed to operate like Christ in the church. And our world has twisted that, have turned it. In fact, this is one of those passages of Scripture that for some reason we sit on the edge of our seat and we think, preacher's not going to talk about that verse. There's 6 or 8 or 10 verses in the Bible. When you speak about submission, when you speak about standards, we get nervous. By the way, God's not nervous when we read them. He's certainly not nervous when we apply them like they ought to be. So I am a picture, you are a picture of Christ and the church. He works through me. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are the bride of Christ. As a preacher, when I stand in this place, I am doing the work of the Lord because I love the Lord, because I want to be submissive to the Lord, because I want to do the will of the Father. I'm just a part of God's plan to do what is His will so that His name is exalted and so that glory is brought to His name and so that His cause goes on. That's what your marriage is. You're just a part of that big picture, and we are to support the Lord and support the relationship and support the pictures of the gospel in the local church and the New Testament. Your relationship is one as a supporter. Number three, it's a relationship or a picture of sharing. Look at verse number 30. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Now, Paul is not taking the Bible and turning it into some transliteration where you have all of a sudden become the body and where men want to change the Lord's Supper. That's not what Paul's doing. And many Bible critics have accused the Apostle Paul of that. No, that's not the case at all. But he is drawing to us an analogy that this is an intimate relationship. It involves every piece, the body, the hands, the bones, every part. It's emotional, it's financial, it's physical, it's every piece. Jesus said, when we join in that relationship, Jesus said, I call you no more servants, but I call you friends. So ladies, open your heart to a relationship that is selfless, of sharing your heart and sharing your relationship and sharing every piece of you are in this together. It always burdens me when I see couples who are living separate lives. Maybe under the same roof, but they're just living separate lives. And there's a lot of ways that that's practiced, and I don't want to illustrate them for sake of leaving some out, but we are in this together. Two become one. I always spend a lot of time on those verses when I'm doing premarital counseling, helping young couples or young people understand that, look, when you get married, it is all about both of you. You, you, independent. You are dependent on one another. This is the both of us. And that's a picture of we have been engrafted and ingrained into the body of Christ. Here's what that looks like. If you allow a grudge to come between you and your husband, you're going to fracture your relationship. By the way, that's good with every relationship. If you allow things, you allow intimacy to be a tool against your husband, you only hurt yourself. There's nothing that Jesus didn't share with the church. He gave himself for the church. This is a submissive, supportive, sharing relationship. It's a sacrificial relationship. I could go on. I don't have that one listed in our notes, but you ought to learn to sacrifice. Most ladies I know that are godly ladies are great at sacrificing. My wife is the one who, will you guys go ahead and take what's left? I don't really need anything to eat. I'll just watch and pray as you guys eat. You can tell we're starving her. But you should sacrifice for your husband. And by the way, fellas, we're not going to get to those verses, but we're called to do the same. And we will get to that. Go to verse 33, would you? Go to the end of the chapter. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. The word reverence there is an interesting word. It is a word that has come under a lot of fire by contemporary theologians or so-called theologians. The word literally carries the idea to respect to the place of being set on a pedestal. Now, fellas, let me help you. I would not advise you going home and saying, the preacher said you should set me on a pedestal. But that is the definition of it. And the reason for that is it carries the idea that something that is set on the pedestal is special. So you take special care of it. You are cautious. You are gentle with it. And there's a whole host of descriptions. That means that you ought to speak well of your husband. That means that you ought to learn to defer to him. You say, well, preacher, if you knew my husband and he got on a pedestal, you'd kick him off that pedestal too. Well, I don't have to know your husband because God does, and God's the one that says that there's to be respect. Every wife is to reverence her husband. Over time, here's what happens. The romance in marriage begins to fade. And when romance fades, reverence always goes with it. Mark it down. They are twins that often move together. And maybe it's time for a tune-up. Now, that's not always easy. I don't believe that the marriage relationship, and I will address the men in the next sermon, it's not a place of bullying or foolishness, but you should build your husband up. If you dominate your husband, you will cause him to become resentful. In fact, I would go so far to say that it's even possible that some ladies are the sum cause of why some men have developed feminine characteristics. So don't blame it all on the leadership if the fellowship isn't right. And that's not easy to do. I mean, we set aside time in our services on a day like Mother's Day and other days to just be reminded about the fact that that role, wow, that's a lot that you have. And my hat's off to any godly wife who will keep her marriage tuned up the way that it ought to be. I said it earlier and I'll say it again. If you have, or if you that kind of marriage, thank the Lord for it. Fellas, if you have a wife that has those characteristics, you have no idea what a gem you have. And you better tell her that. And may God help us that we would have the picture, so as Christ and the church. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's think about something before we go to the invitation.